This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are talking about Revolution, uppers and downers, dark side. It was just a stout-filled weekend. Lots of photos taken, so be sure to check out our Facebook and Instagram for that. And we dive into a bunch of events coming up this weekend, including a handful of Cigar City events. All that and more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, there's flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Brad Chmielewski here.
Hey, what's up, Brad? I'm Nick White.
And this is another episode of Chicago Beer Pass where we drink and talk about drinking.
Man, we crank these things out, man.
I know. Every week. We ran into some people this past weekend at Uppers and Downers and telling them, there's like over 200 shows. We've done. No big deal. They were impressed, but not sure if they listen, but shout out if they are.
Yeah, man. And and then something's happening every week, so yeah. I love it, man. So.
But we always kick off the show by drinking some local beer here. We got a couple offerings this week. We got some Ailman Ladies Man that we're drinking right now. This is their wheat ale with lemon thyme.
Lemon thyme is a thing, huh?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
Not lemon and thyme. Lemon thyme.
Yeah, it's all one word, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty tasty beer. Definitely stands out. It's like your paintball beer.
Yeah.
It's like laser tag drinking.
Yeah.
Then we also have some backup, some middle brow. This is their white light.
So. Oh, these are different.
Yeah.
Oh, right on. So we got the Belgian. No, we got a wheat ale with lemon thyme, and then we got a
basically a wheat ale with apricot.
Yeah.
So yeah, pairs pretty well.
Here we go.
Yeah. Pretty tasty. I don't drink Ailman stuff very often.
No, I've only had the IPAs. No. So this is it's my only one outside of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so we'll sip on these. But let's dive into this week. We did quite a few things here.
Yes.
First off, I went to the Deathmatch at Revolution. So that was Thursday night.
Right on. So this is where they're picking next year's variant to the Death.
Right. So there's Death by Cherries is the current offering or the cans that you can find around. I don't know if you can still buy them.
Probably.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say oatmeal stout, right? Barrel-aged oatmeal stout is the base. Yeah.
Yeah. So then they had four different offerings there that you get to vote on. So you did a taster flight of all four of them for about $15. So me and a buddy, we just split one. We were like, we don't really each need one of these.
Yeah.
So it was plums, raspberry, berry, and currant.
Man, you know, like the only one I've had is cherry. And I'm wondering when they get these, like what's the normal process for getting this flavor of said fruit in there? Like I wonder how they're doing that.
Do they just like dump some juice in?
Right. Or is it like straight puree or is it like fake? You know, is it like something that's not a berry or not a fruit?
I don't know. They're throwing Jolly Ranchers in there. Just give me a bunch of those like green apple Jolly Ranchers and we'll throw them in.
Man. Because one time, and this is probably just them, the Forbidden Root guys and Randy Mosier, they had that, they had like a cherry amaru, and he was like, yeah, you know, we tried the cherry skin, we tried the pulp, but it was the cherry stem that led us to, and then they said the stem apparently had like a different flavor, and everyone
okay.
So I think that's just them, but I'm curious what people are doing with this fruit, man.
Yeah, for like a one-off like this, they made just keg them and then like dump some, like they have might have like a blend they kind of pour in there to kind of get the flavors there for you. But tried all four. It's hard to imagine that they're going to actually take anyone's opinion into count here, right?
You don't think this is like a real, like, hey, tell us what's next kind of thing?
But wouldn't they already have to have this fruit like planned and bought? Like they need a lot, right? So
it's a big operation. So they're in the top quadrant, whatever the top four are, they're in it.
Yeah, you can't just be like,
volume.
All right, the people voted on this. We need a truckload of raspberries now. Let's go. That's got to be planned, right? But maybe. Maybe people are voting. Or people did vote, and they might take it into account.
Did they tally votes that night or what? Like,
No, I was kicked out before any votes were counted, so I didn't even look on social media or anything to see if they announced a winner.
Yeah.
But let's see, the favorites here. Courant was the worst.
Okay.
So that was Grape. It was just, it was too much. You just were like, yeah, it's way too strong of a flavor. I'm done. Plum, I thought was going to be the worst, and that ended up being my favorite. It was the most subtle. It added a nice balance of flavor there, and it just stood out. And I think I was going in with such low expectations on plum that it just stood out.
Yeah.
Raspberry, definitely a very strong flavor there. It was pretty good, but it was up there with like the cherry where you're going to know that this is raspberry.
Yeah.
And then berry was probably my second favorite. But what we ended up doing was blending berry and raspberry.
Oh, right on.
Berry just needed a little bit more raspberry.
Just needed a little boost, yeah.
Yeah, so it's berries. It is, yeah. So you can throw any kind of berries. Just you know,
like what? Just put them together. Just...
Yeah, up the raspberry in your berry mixture, and then that's the winner.
And you're ready to rock.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah, because from a distance, those two, like the raspberry one. Mm-hmm. And the, what was the first one?
Plum or Courant?
No. Yeah, and Courant. Those sounded like the most interesting, yeah.
Right, but they're the strongest flavors, and that's not, like, you half the time want that flavor to stand out, and then half the time you don't. Like, you don't want a 16-ounce or 12-ounce can of grape juice, right?
Yeah,
that's true. That you're trashed on.
Yeah. So. Yeah, because, you know, Schramm's, the meadery up in Michigan, they had, like, a Courant mead. And yeah, it was sexy time, man. It was just kind of like adult elevated like grape juice.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it felt like. But cool night. We hung out there for a while. We drank a couple other beers, but nothing stand out outside of their like normal offering. So, yeah, but it was packed. It was busy.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah, that their barrel aged program made big noise this year. First year in cans, so that's cool. I like the crowd participation and like, hey, let's have a contest.
You know? Yeah, so that kicked off our stout filled weekend.
Yes,
this was like just a extended FOBAB basically we had going on here.
Yeah, you find yourself eating like, all right, I'm gonna eat during this party, then I'm gonna go eat again because I've been smashing stouts.
So then the next day, or not 2 days later, was Saturday, and we made it over to Uppers and Downers.
Yes. I want to say the fourth annual?
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, at Talia Hall.
Third annual at Talia Hall.
Yeah. And this was, man, this was pretty good. This was a pretty good party, the Festival of Coffee Beers. So I had never been. This was my first one.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised at how, like, you know, there's like a ton of roasters that you can get coffee from, and then right after that, there's like 17 brewers pouring beers, beers.
I had gone last year, so I kind of knew what I was in for and prepared by making sure I didn't drink too much coffee that morning either, because that's the other like mistake. You often start your day with coffee, but now you're gonna go to a fest with more coffee. You are taking up your coffee intake maybe a little too high.
Yeah. I was thinking around 10 a.m., like, yeah, I should probably prep for this. Because, this, you know, like for guys like us, I mean, like, you know, I'm one cup of coffee in the day, one at night, and then obviously beer whenever I can. Mm-hmm. So, I, you know, we get really excited. We like, yeah, both? Okay.
Yeah. So, we went to that night session, and I went in and kicked it off with a coffee. Like, I got there, and because the coffee's at the, by the door, right?
Yeah.
The beer is towards the back, and I was like, oh, let's kick it off with the coffee. Get that flavor rolling, pick me up, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, so many different brands that I wasn't aware of that were there. We knew for a letter word because they're in the Weiner building.
Mm-hmm.
But then, actually getting to talk to the Sump guys.
Uh-huh. And Ruby was there, Stumptown.
Counter.
Metric. Or was Metric? Metric might have been in their morning.
Hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. You know, it was a real, real thoughtful event as far as like, you know, I noticed, some pictures from the earlier session that even everything from the colorway of the signage was all different on the stage, you know, from one session to another. And then like, of course the beer list is completely different, you know, and then the booklet that you get is different from each one. I really thought out, you know, one of the things that I was left thinking about when, you know, when it was over was this was kind of like a coming out party for Cruz Blanca. you know, they took it really seriously. They brought seven beers when most breweries probably bought like one or two, unless they were doing the a case study where they might have brought four.
Last year, Weiner was over there on the side doing a case study with might have been Four Letter Word Coffee, but it also might have been Ria's Coffee Company in Turkey. I don't remember.
Yeah. And then, so the, like you talk about those case studies. So of the 17 brewers, there were four case studies, right? We talked about Cruz Blanca. They were with Sparrow Coffee. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Sparrow apparently is like the coffee of choice for like Michelin star restaurants in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that. The other three, Barrel Beer in North Carolina. They were with Counterculture, and then Four Hands with Goshen Coffee.
Okay.
Yeah, that was actually the first thing I got when I the Cruz Blanca line was really long, because they had two, like, it's coffee beer blended beverages they were making for you,
yeah,
as well as, like, for coffee. So I went straight to Four Hands.
Okay.
Yeah, and they had a barley wine with four different types of coffee, like a washed, a natural, and then, you know, like a dark and light roast or something like that.
I didn't even try any of that Cruz Blanca or Four Hands, any of the case studies. Like, I was enamored by all the other stuff. And
I wish I had my list. Do you have your list for this party?
No, not on me.
Yeah,
not with me.
Because it's not on the website anymore either.
Oh, okay.
The list of the beers, full list. So.
But I know one of my beer standouts was from a Weiner Beer Company that was there. Four-letter word, it's called.
Yeah.
Mentioned that we recently had the Woolly on and how fantastic that beer was, and Four-letter word was an awesome beer as well. Probably my standout beer of the event.
Yeah, I like the Cruz Blanca pineapple and Chardonnay barrels with coffee, pineapple sour. That was really good. Yeah, but this event had some other cool stuff, man. You could you know, you could rip your own espresso shot. They had, like, these espresso machines that you could go pour shot. I've never done that, actually. Still haven't, because we saw the line, and we're like, fuck these lines.
Like waiting.
Yeah. Let's see. And then also upstairs, Guinness had their own roasting room. Guinness had a full presentation upstairs.
Right.
You know, that kind of walks you through almost like a small, like, tribute or a museum, if you will, interactive museum about their malt and their roasting process and how it's similar to coffee. Yeah. Oh, and then they got, like, they had quite a few beers upstairs, too.
Yeah, so they were pouring four things. They had Guinness.
Yeah.
They had the extra foreign stout.
Yeah.
They had the 20th anniversary.
200th.
200th, sorry. Yeah, Guinness is just 20 years old. The 200 one. I had that one, which was pretty tasty. And then they had this brand new one from the Baltimore brewery, which I didn't even know they had a Baltimore brewery.
Same here. Yeah, so, it was a Belgian triple with Cascara. So, and you know, another note about it, about the whole party, you know, it was, we talked about it there. I thought that it would be like the first time I went to Cider Summit and you're just drinking orange juice or apple juice for 3 hours. But the types of flavors they were pulling out of some of these beers, like the ones that got Cascara, like the one upstairs.
Yeah.
Or when the volume was turned down and they got really subtle aromas and flavors, like the all-color one that I had. Like, those were some of my favorite moments, you know?
Right, not just the stout with espresso in it or
exactly.
cold brew coffee. Or
like those traditional big, roasty, chocolatey flavors.
Exactly.
Those were there, but, man, a whole other range of stuff, too, which was cool. Yeah, I screwed up. I thought the triples were too much for me and the barley wines were too much for me. I probably should have stayed low.
Okay.
Yeah, but.
But, yeah, this was the first time a beer out from that Baltimore brewery has been poured outside of that brewery. Or outside of Baltimore, at least. So,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. A lot of fun components to this party, man. The Do Right Donuts lady, as soon as you walked upstairs, is passing out whiskey donuts, you know?
Yeah.
How cool is that? That's a win. I really like the glassware, little cute little champagne glass with the gold rim on it.
Mm-hmm. Very hard to photo.
Yeah, difficult photo. Or even when the Cruz Blanca, when they had the cream-based or even the froth on the espresso shots, it just kind of got on your glass.
Yeah.
And but the Irish whiskey cocktail.
From Power, right?
Powers through an Irish cocktail competition. So that winning cocktail from Revival, the food hall, the coffee shop in there, they made that. So.
But yeah, that Irish coffee was nice. I'm not a big Irish coffee person. Like, yeah. I don't have it very often. And when I do, I kind of just want coffee. And so it was nice to have it there. And they did a really good job with it. And I think maybe because I was already going between that booze and coffee and I already had that little like buzz going, the Irish coffee was like perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To go cups of coffee on your way out. Were they? What was in those?
It was oatmeal, like it was like a hot chocolate, or it was like oatmeal chocolate milk kind of thing. But it wasn't coffee, I believe. It was from like oat latte.
Okay. I was wondering what that was. Yeah.
Those were tasty. Did you have one?
I did not.
Oh yeah, you should have got one.
That's not what I was I was good and you know, I just had a really good buzz, really good vibe in that place. You know, I know in the session we went to the evening session.
Uh-huh.
So like 4 to 8. And the thought was that a lot of the beer nerds, a lot of the festival circuit crowd that you're used to seeing at these things were probably at the AM session, because at night it was more like a night on the town, and there were
couples.
There were couples everywhere. Yeah. Which was, you know, not something you typically see.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys over at a Good Beer Hunting, they turned it into an entire week of events, you know, even to the point where they're helping some of these cool breweries get on tap for the weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
I think they had a hangover or post party at the Good Beer Hunting studio the following morning.
So. Yeah. So, yeah, not your average beer fest for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in Tally Hall, which is like, you know, in Pilsen, first of all. We never really get to party at big festivals in Pilsen. It's in the middle of winter. Tally Hall is on the National Register. It's a historic landmark.
Awesome.
It's attached to Dusik's. We were talking to Gary Valentine. They ran like 3 straight years of Michelin star action over there, you know.
Gary Valentine had some really interesting things to say. He is you know, married to Stephanie Iser,
Iron Chef,
and he is also the beer buyer for the goats. I don't know,
right.
Like I think all of them, more so Little Goat, because that one has way more beer. But
that's the one I'm at the most of the goats.
But yeah, he had some interesting things to say that hopefully we can maybe get on a podcast with him, get on an episode, or record something else he's kind of kicking around, talking about like beer prices, which is something we talk quite a bit about on here. Just like, that beer is too expensive for me to buy.
Yeah. And then like how tap rooms have a really cool leverage where they can they can address pricing issues, you know, mm-hmm. if they so choose. Yeah. Good party, man.
For sure.
Uppers and downers. Oh, we should talk about the goose beer.
Oh yeah, that was a Lolita.
Yeah, yeah, Hazy Dolores they call it.
Hazy Dolores.
Yeah, so I guess we know they like to name beers after women. You know, I know Sophie is like the granddaughter.
Yeah.
Right? And then Matilda is like the Countess Matilda. It's like a little Belgian mm-hmm. story. Oh, but Lolita apparently is from like the Stanley Kubrick movie, which was a book before that.
Yeah, and right? Dolores is the name of the actress that played Lolita in the movie.
Yeah, so they called it, so we stuck around a little bit for this one. It was a chocolate raspberry coffee sour beer is what they were calling it.
Because this was on in the first session.
Right.
And he said, you know, they were pouring coffee, Bourbon County, and we're like,
first times where it's like, dude,
we have coffee Bourbon County all the time.
Like, yeah, man, you know, you gotta do the thing for this party. We want that thing, man.
So he said he had some left, and in the last like 15 minutes kind of switched over the kegs a little bit and kind of gave everyone a taste, because any of those brewers, they don't want to have to take beer home with them. Right, that's always, you hear from events, like, they are more than happy to give you bigger pours, just get rid of their beer as fast as they can, because they have to clean it up and bring it back. So if it's an empty keg, it's way easier. So I think that's kind of played into him, like, yeah, I'll pull that out from the first session.
Yeah, for sure. So this beer was a Lolita base. Then it had a cold brew, Intelligentsia Coffee. Intelligentsia was their partner right next door to them. Then they blended Bourbon County and Goose Winter Porter.
Nice.
Yeah, for that chocolate raspberry coffee sour beer.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that was Uppers and Downers. and you kept going strong the next day. I took it easy. Yeah, no beer stuff for me on Sunday, but you rolled into Dark Side number 6.
Dark Side 6, man. We've had Chris Jacobson on the show. The one thing I noticed at Emporium, this year was that they have a hard-hitting soundtrack for this party, man.
Okay.
Just like all hard rock, all like 90s metal. Like, it was...
Seems like Chris.
There was definitely a tone. I'm playing The Simpsons. You know, I'm there, and, you know, we're playing The Simpsons. You know, I'm Lisa Simpson, and, you know, she's Marge Simpson, and And I hear that dun dun dun, and I'm just like getting all this energy. I'm like, man, this feels great, man. Yeah. So all dark beers. I tell you, man. Madagascar from Four Hands, you know, which is their, you know, is their milk stout with fucking Ugandan coffee.
Okay.
This one, this variant had Ugandan coffee in it. I think that might have been the best thing I had there. I was pleasantly surprised by it. So by the time I got there, prop was gone, you know, and then you know, so I rolled right into Port Barrel Madagascar from Four Hands.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
And then even then the Port Barrel was fine, but you know, I didn't appreciate it because it was a little too, you know, those wine and you know, those wine and tart fruit notes in my stout. I didn't want that. I wanted a coffee stout flavor stout. You know what I mean? I wanted, okay, especially since Uppers and Downers, you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So this was good. Another thing that stuck out to me was Alesmith's Thai Speedway Stout.
Okay.
Yeah. So usually when you
not Aleman.
Not Aleman. Alesmith out on the West Coast. Usually when you get the Speedway Stout, it's got coffee in it. Uh-huh. So when you get a Thai coffee, that's usually like condensed milk.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe like rice water or something. I don't know. But this one had coconut, lime, ginger, lemongrass, basil, and coffee.
Oh, so it had those Thai ingredients. It wasn't a Thai coffee. It was just Thai flavors.
Exactly. Yeah. The Death by Cherries, the prop, I missed that one. But the Bourbonic Plague.
Nice. Yeah,
that's the one from Cascade that I thought. That's a sour ale in wine barrels.
Okay.
Yeah. Those were all pretty good. Oh, but I got to hang out with, you know, part of his crew is one of the guys who used to be at Stone Brewing, Aaron Tyrell. So 7 years ago, he was the local Stone rep. And 7 years ago is when Stone, re-entered the market. So, you know, we got to reminisce about some Stone events, you know, like the Iron Brew down in Bridgeport.
Right,
where Stone was heavily involved in that. And we were talking some early Stone stuff. That was a good time. Yeah, man. Dark Side.
Nice. So pretty good turnout for the event. Good crowd there.
Right. I think like after a certain hour, like I think it's a noon start, and then after a certain hour, maybe like 3,
you can
come in. Nice. Yeah, but your tickets to Dark Side got you like it was a $40 ticket, and it got you a nice takeaway bag, and then your token. It's a token system based off that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, all your tokens are in your all your game tokens are in your bag, and all your drink tokens are in your bag.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. So, I think that's all the events we made it to.
Yeah.
This past week. So out of all of those, we drank some pretty awesome stuff. Do you have? What was the best thing you drank this week? Or maybe it wasn't even from one of these events. Maybe you were at home drinking a Natty Light, and you're like, that was the best thing.
Yeah. for sure, man. You know, I mean, but, yeah, shout out to that Abraxas. Because when you put it in this lineup of all the beers I named, all the dark beers, you know after sip one that you're drinking Abraxas.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's such a hard flavor to deny. It's every time.
Was that the best
90% thing? 90% of the time, it works every time, man.
Well, you think that was the best thing you drank?
Either that week? Or the, I'm excited about the Cruz Blanca stuff. They had the pineapple one in Chardonnay barrels, pineapple sour in Chardonnay barrels with coffee.
Uh-huh.
It all just sounds so weird and it works. So, fuck.
For me, I know I raved about that Weiner beer at Uppers and Downers, but I'm going to go that Hazy Dolores.
Yeah.
I think that was just a standout beer. Maybe it was the end of the night, so it hit me with that like sour kind of different, and I wasn't getting this like punch in the face coffee kind of.
Yeah.
And it was just nice. It was a good way to end it. So that was maybe my best thing I drank, and it's pretty easy to get too because it's on tap at the tap rooms, and so you can go check it out.
Yeah, it had a lot of moves.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of moves on that one. It was good beer.
And that was my best thing. Yeah.
Right on.
All right, so. Best things we drank past week. What do we got coming up this week on the calendar?
Yeah, for sure. We'll start at Thursday, man. Howls and Hood, that's in the Tribune Tower. It's their 5th anniversary Thursday, March 3rd at 4 p.m. We're already into March, Brad. Yeah.
Yikes. Okay.
So 4 years of Bourbon County Barley Wine from Goose Island, along with Prop 15, 16, and 17, and they'll have this year's Reserve and Coffee. So I think they're closing for good. That was the word. They're turning into condos.
Right.
So I wonder if this is their 5th anniversary / hasta la bye-bye party, too.
Get rid of all of our beer kind of thing.
Yeah, right. I'm curious about the barley wine because, you know, this year they used, I want to say they used first-run bourbon barrels. But in the past, they used the barrels that Bourbon County sat in. You know what I mean? Instead of just fresh bourbon. So, and those, I think, had more character than the these. So I'm kind of curious about, you know, BC Bourbon County barley wine from 3 years ago.
Yeah. All right.
That might be pouring good. So.
Interesting. Yeah.
So that's Thursday. Let's see. Let's move to Saturday, man.
Is this week also, there's a lot of Cigar City events happening around the city, right?
Yeah, so you can check out Cigar City.
I would look around and probably follow Cigar City on Twitter or Facebook and see where some of the events are. I know there's one happening at Bangers and Lace. And honestly, talking to people, this might be the only time you'll get to have Cigar City beer on tap in Chicago because it sounds like the kegs are expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And... Yeah. They, unless people are asking for these beers and you're going to a beer bar, it's going to be hard to replace like those Revolution tap handles, those right. Goose Island tap handles, the Metropolitan tap handles, like all that stuff just isn't going to happen for Cigar City.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go out if you're interested to have it on tap, especially some of the rare stuff that they may drop in for these events. Like, go out and get it this weekend.
Yeah, that's a good call. You can go to Reggie's Rock Bar. That's in South Loop on March 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a Welcome to Cigar City party where they'll have a lot of the beers you discussed, man. Apricot Peach, Mango Sour, and a bunch of other stuff. Maybe seven beers they'll have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you said Saturday, what was that, March 10th?
Yeah, Saturday, March 10th is Blue Island, man. Blue Island, they're going to have a barrel-aged weekend barley wine weekend. They're going to call it St. Variant Day.
St. Variant Day.
Okay. Yeah, so you'll get the Lost Weekend barley wine. That's a barrel-aged barley wine. And then you'll get three barrel-aged versions of Underground Communique.
I wonder if there's a barley wine called Weekend at Barley's.
Weekend at Barley's. That would be good. the three variants on Communique are coconut, vanilla, and raspberry. Yeah, so this is something new they're trying to start, St. Variant Day.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that's 480 bottles.
Nice. Yeah, sure, check that out on Saturday.
But yeah, light week, man.
Cool. But yeah, Cigar City events, check those out for sure.
I didn't think about that, how, you know, it might not come back around a second time. Like when these kegs are gone, it might be harder to find the next time around for the Cigar City stuff. I think you're right on that.
Yeah, because a little insight into some of our conversations with Gary Valentine, he mentioned that a keg of IPA from Cigar City,
High Lie,
is more than a Three Flights keg. Why on earth would you give up a Three Flights handle? That's maybe, it could be Alpha King, it could be Gumball, it could be anything. It could just be like you're rotating Three Floyds keg for a Cigar City beer or a Cigar City handle. Like it doesn't, people love Three Floyds beers.
Yeah, we recorded the show from House and Hood a couple summers ago. And, you know, we said, hey, you guys got 100 taps in here, like literally 100 taps. What's flying off? What's the fastest seller? So he's like, it's neck and neck. It's Anti-Hero and it's
Gumball Head.
It's Gumball Head from Three Floyds. Yeah, and these are like some of the highest volume accounts in the city.
Yeah, there's no way a bar is going to be like, our fastest selling beer is High Lie. It's not going to happen. Prove me wrong, but I would hope not because we're Chicago Beer Pass, so we're promoting Chicago here. So screw you, Florida.
Tell us how you really feel, Brad.
Yeah, but if you're interested at all at Cigar City, try them this week.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that leads us into some news before we wrap up the show here.
Right on.
What do we got happening?
Let's see, man. The return of Eek, March 18th. Off Color announced that the Miller High Life recipe that uses a house lactobacillus from Off Color will be coming back out again on March 18th.
Okay.
Yeah. It was in Bombers last year.
Nice.
Yeah, it might have been 750s. I forget. Mm-hmm. Lake Effect in Jefferson Park, they're going to have a proposal meeting, man, because they want to move into the Jefferson Park Firehouse as an expansion. So this is like a retired firehouse station, and there's a couple of storefronts that are going to comprise this tenant list, and they want to be one of the tenants.
Oh.
So on March 8th at 6 p.m., you can go to the firehouse for the proposal meeting.
So it'll be an expansion because they have – you've been to that brewery a number of times.
Yeah, we would go all the time. It's their production brewery is in Jefferson Park, but it's behind a costume shop. It's in the same building as a costume shop, which the costume shop's on the street, so you have to go down an alley to get to the back of the building where Lake Effect is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So they probably want more foot traffic. And I know they have a store where they can sell off premises.
But other people brew at their space, like Bulldog.
Oh, yeah. Bulldog beer, brews there, too.
And so I'm sure they wouldn't want to lose that. And I'm sure the people that brew there don't want to lose that either, too, because moving to a firehouse would mean, like, probably a different setup.
Yeah, yeah. So they should probably keep both of those. And that would be cool. That'd be a cool storefront, a proper, like, you know, bar setup.
Tap room kind of thing.
That would be cool. Yeah. The good folks at Microphone announced that their annual Pale Pauper Day. So annually, Microphone would host Pale Pauper Day to rival Dark Lord Day, you know, on that weekend. So, yeah. And that's another one of my favorite weekends, Dark Lord Day weekend. And then this weekend here with Darkseid and the coffee thing.
Dark Lord Day is usually the beginning of April, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is going to be on 428, and I think
end of April. Sorry.
Yeah, but like I think Dark Lord announced a different date this year.
Oh.
So this is just kind of standing on its own now.
Maybe that's why. Maybe they're like, oh.
Yeah, we made our point. You know, we had a few good parties the same day as Dark Lord Day, and now that those people know us, let's just throw our own party on a different day. Fuck it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was Pale Pauper Day. Now it Smells Like a Beer Fest Day in honor of Smells Like Bean Spirit, which is their imperial coffee stout.
Yeah.
So, and this will, the barrel aged version, that'll be released on Smells Like a Beer Fest Day. Proceeds will go to a youth scholarship fund.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So that'll be awesome. We'll talk more about that event probably as it gets closer to it.
Yeah, right on. We saw some really cool 4-pack Tallboy black label cans from the good folks at Goose Island. So 312 Day's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
312 is a beer. Not too excited about it. 312 Day can sometimes be fun. I saw Mayor Hawthorne there at in the Barrel Warehouse once. That was pretty cool.
This is our last episode of February. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should reach out to Ken and see if we want to talk 312 on this next episode.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Be coming up here.
It's been a long time, man. We had Ken on the show once, but it was long, 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 long ago.
Yeah. that could be really good if he's interested. But these 312 cans are dry hopped 312. Yeah.
So like with Mosaic, mm-hmm. And you know, it's like what all the kids are doing. They're taking the bear can, and they're taking a traditional beer label and wrapping it around that bear can.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but this one looks cool because it looks like...
just like this?
Yeah, just like the Ailman cans that we're drinking right now, you know? But their 312 can is black, and then that label looks like it's got, like, a city grid behind the big 312 in gold. It's a black and gold layer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks pretty cool. So, kind of curious about that.
Nice, yeah. Definitely should. I'll reach out to him, see maybe we can talk more about this, what inspired, get some background of this beer.
Because they can make a lot of beer. Mm-hmm. You know, they got, there's 400 barrel fermenters, like, outside the building over there.
Right.
They could flood the whole
region.
And
so this version of 312 was brewed here in Chicago. This is an only Chicago release kind of thing. So, probably worth picking up, checking out, and grabbing.
Right on. All right, and finally in news, man, the Northman, Chicago's first cider bar, mm-hmm. has announced this summer they're going to have a second location on the riverfront.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
That ought to be cool if you're downtown.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. That does it for beer news. We got more Ailman to drink here. We got some Middlebrow, but we're going to get out of here. Nick, where can people get in touch, reach out when we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Instagram, I blew that up this weekend with a ton of, like, a huge Instagram story from Uppers and Downers.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's good. Yeah.
That was a lot of, like, I was going back and I was like,
Brad's putting in work, man. Look at this, man. This looks good. It kind of like, it captures everything. It's cool.
So check that out. If you missed it, I think I saved it down to our profile too, so you can check that out.
Yeah, all the photo proof of that party is on our Facebook too.
I was doing Instagram stories and photos. Facebook.
Man,
it's Chicago Beer Pass. Check that out. Everything gets posted there. We share other events. Sometimes we don't mention. We'll probably share some of these Cigar City events that we didn't have or didn't mention here. But check that out, and we'll be back next week with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.